This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 168 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. And with me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, Mr. Shelton Muller. How are you?
I'm really well. It doesn't seem that long since I actually had the pleasure of your company over pizza.
I know.
It was good.
2 days ago. Yeah, it was awesome. Had a great time.
You came down for our... Yeah, it was good having you, mate. You came down for our workshop with David Honnell.
Yep.
And that was it was good to have you along. Did you enjoy yourself?
Oh, mate, I had a great time. I really did.
Well, that's good.
And you know, I know your next question is going to be, you know, what did you get from it? And I feel like I say this all the time, but I think that, you know, the thing I come away with from just about every workshop is just how much I need to then go and practice what we've covered, you know, because it's, you know, all these creative things, you know, you only get better at them by doing them yourself. You know, it's fantastic to go to a workshop and to get the images that you get, but I always walk away thinking, yeah, but Dave Honnell set that up. You know, I need to develop the creative vision necessary to think about light the way he did and to decide where a light needs to be and does it need to be modified, and if it needs to be modified, in what way? Does it need a snoot? Does it need a grid? Does it need a softbox? Does it need a reflector? You know, all of those things are things that I think just come with practice, you know. I get this because, you know, in the years when I was doing the sign language podcast, I would constantly get questions from, you know, newbie podcasters asking me audio engineering type questions. And so often I'd write back and I'd go, well, it's this and it's this and it's this. But really, it just comes down to doing it for years and years and years, you know. So now I'm on the other end of it.
Well, we got asked exactly the same question when we were recently in Philadelphia at the Eastern State Penitentiary.
Right.
We did our final day of shooting there, and we'll talk about this at length if you like, but just while you're on that subject, we were in the old penitentiary doing this shoot, and it was sort of like a paid shoot kind of event that few people came along, and we had a model in a wedding dress and sort of runny mascara, black mascara down her face, and there she is in this old ruined part of the Eastern State Penitentiary. And there's this old staircase that came from the upper level of cells down to the floor level. And we just came up with the idea of putting a Honnell grid on a strobe, on a stand, shooting through the stairs so that we cast a sort of striped, fanned shadow and highlight pattern across the wall behind.
Oh, okay.
And then we put the bride in that wall so that, you know, the stripes, you know, go across her. And then we made sure that that her face was in the bride area and that the stripes went across her wedding dress, etc. Well, it was a great photograph, compositionally, lighting. It was very dynamic. And one of the guys just who was there just said to Glenn, how do you guys come up with this stuff? And Glenn just said, I don't know, it's just what we do. And I think you're right. It just comes down to experience, and you get this kit of tools in your toolbox after a while, you know. It's hard to explain where the inspiration comes from. I think you just gather so many tools in your toolbox that you are able to use them in so many combinations that you find inspiration easier after a while, because you know what your options are. You've got more option because you have greater knowledge.
Yes.
So, you know, and that would be the case with you, you know, that would be the case with you certainly as an audio engineer. You know how much reverb to add or to add it at all.
Absolutely.
And what?
Yep.
You know, whereas I wouldn't have a clue. I've done some of my own recordings and I wouldn't have a clue, you know. And now you're in the same place photographically. What do I do here?
Yeah.
And after a while, you'll just, you know, you'll see it Bruce Williams' way. And I'll see it Shelton Muller's way. And, you know, everybody else will see it their own way. But some will work and some won't. That's just, I suppose, the right and wrong of it.
And that's where the experience part comes along, is that from just doing it for yourself over and over and over and over, you will try some things, and some things will not work on one shoot but will work on another shoot, And from that combined experience, I think you walk away with a knowledge that is greater than the sum of the parts, if you know what I mean. Like you then walk away and go, okay, now I understand, you know, that particular technique, whatever it was, you know, maybe let's just say it was the use of a softbox that works on one shoot and doesn't work on another. And when you've had both of those experiences, I think you then get it a lot more than you got it after just one of those experiences.
Yeah. 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 I absolutely agree. We had a similar experience. It was very interesting in the reverse. It was very interesting what, I think it was either Wayne Pollard or Tero, who said at the end wrap up with the Honnell workshop that they were surprised that three guys with a combination of like 80 years of experience in photography, 85 years of experience or something in photography, had to abandon an idea. We were trying to put this shot together, remember, near the staircase.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't working.
Yeah.
And the three of us are trying to make this thing work. And in the end, we said, nah, it's not going to work. Abandon it. So even with our combined experience, Glenn's, mine, and David's, trying to get this shot together to show you how it would come about, didn't come about. We had to abandon it.
Yeah.
So we're still learning too. You know, you'll never stop. That's the great thing about it.
Definitely. So tell us a bit more about your trip to the States.
Oh, mate, it was once again a great time. Love the American photographers. They're a real fun bunch. They love us and our Aussie, you know, approach. And we had a really wonderful time. We did our first series of workshops at Paul's Photo in Torrance in LA, California.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Coleman runs the store there, and he's just a great guy. The great thing about him, and if you're listening to this and you're a photo retailer, the great thing about Mark is that he gets it. And with regard to workshops and education, he makes his store not just a place that, you know, you go and you try and get the best price out of somebody, you know, and squeeze them for every dollar like so many photo retailers try to do. He actually says, well, this is a one-stop shop for photography. You come here and you buy your stuff, but, you know, we've got this whole series of workshops, and he invites us there to come two, three times a year. He does a lot of workshops himself, both, you know, taking people away on weekends or week tours. Then he runs evening classes and workshops. He really, you know, makes the whole thing about photography. So to invite us was really wonderful, because we felt very, very special to be invited by someone who has, you know, really all of that pretty much taken care of. But he just thinks that we bring something a little bit different, and, you know, we try to. So it was a really lovely experience. We ran a film noir event. We ran the advanced flash photography workshop, our natural light photography workshop, and an understanding your camera workshop. On the day before, we actually did a girls just want to have fun city walk for Fullerton Photo. So we had 20 ladies from California, from LA, turn up. And, you know, and we just walked them through Fullerton in LA, and, you know, did a photo walk with them, taught them the basics of shutter speeds and apertures and metering and depth of field and that kind of thing, and did a shoot with them. So we were pretty much hit the ground running, you know.
Fantastic.
So after we'd done all of that, Glenn and I flew across to New York from LA, and we spent a day just walking around New York, which I'd never done before. I've never been to New York, so it was quite a wonderful experience for me. Got to tick a few boxes there as we walked for 14 hours. We'd been so busy. Yeah, we'd been so busy, Glenn and I, in LA. And then the day flight, we got into our hotel in Newark. We just crashed. And then we went out to dinner that night. That's right, with one of Glenn's friends, Heidi. Hello, if you're listening. And that was awesome. Went to bed. The clock went off at like 5:45 the next morning. And I just said to Glenn, who was, you know, in the next bed in the room, I said, mate, this is supposed to be our day off. And we just laughed, got up, took a subway into town, and we walked around New York for 14 hours, just taking photographs and ticking boxes. and then, you know, went home. And the following day, we got up, we picked up our hire car, and then we drove into Harlem, of all places.
Wow.
And we walked around Harlem. Yeah, we walked around Harlem dragging our low pro Pro Roller 100s behind us, because we didn't want to leave the camera gear in the car. So we thought we'd just roll it behind us walking through Harlem. But that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. And then we just spent the afternoon driving through New York State and into Pennsylvania down to Allentown, mm-hmm. where we did a series of workshops for Dan's camera in Allentown. And that was quite wonderful, actually. Beautiful countryside. We got off the Pennsylvania Turnpike as often as we could to sort of, you know, freak out our GPS, who kept saying, recalculating, as we took side roads and anything we possibly could to get off the turnpike and see the local, you know, forests and roads and back roads and things like that. It was a really wonderful experience. The interesting thing about going across to Allentown was that it was our first time over there. And I suppose, you know, with a place like Dan's, now Dan's camera store is this awesome, awesome photo retailer in Allentown, really switched on. They sell everything, and they even have their own university, as it were. They run so many classes and so many lectures and workshops. So for their customers, it was a very interesting thing to have two Australians, I mean, you know, come and do workshops. So we were met with this, I suppose, level of inquisitiveness, this curiosity. Why would Mike, who runs Dan's Photo, invite these two Aussies? Why didn't he just do it himself? And, you know, it was, they found out, I suppose. We have our own way of doing a workshop, Glenn and I. And, you know, in a certain Aussie and irreverent way. And they really loved it. There were some who came for the first day, which was our wedding workshop, loved it so much they signed up for one or two more the following day and the following day after that in one case. And then finished off, we threw in the Eastern State Penitentiary shoot at last minute, only because Glenn and I had seen photographs there and wanted to go down and do a shoot. Mike from Dan's camera said, well, why don't we run it as a paid shoot? And, you know, we can make it a bit of a business venture. Which was good in a way because, you know, we could make a few extra dollars, but Glenn and I hardly got a chance to take the photos we wanted to take. You have to set it up, take a test shot, and let the paid customers get in and do their thing. So it was an awesome location. And it was just two awesome hours of photographing this, you know, in this location with dripping water from the roof and pools of water all over the floor and, you know, paint coming off. And I still haven't got the paint off my leather jacket.
It looked like something that Hollywood would have spent $1 million to set up.
Yeah, to recreate. Yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely fascinating. I'm going to spend some time, hopefully, you know, this coming over this weekend, getting some photographs together so that you can see what I'm talking about. I still haven't uploaded anything because I'm a complete slacker. Actually, no, I've just been working on other things since I got back.
Yeah.
But it was a wonderful experience to be in the United States. And we, you know, always appreciate, I think, the fact that we are welcomed so readily by people who'd say, well, you know, they've got a nerve. Who do they think they are? You could think that, you know, that could be the opinion, that could be the mindset, but it's actually quite the opposite. We were greeted and met with such welcome and such kindness. And then at the end of it, Mike looks at me and he says, now you guys are coming back in May, aren't you? Because I've got about 20 people clamoring to book for your next workshop. So, you know, it's a feel-good thing. It's a really feel-good thing.
Awesome.
So I had a really, really great time. And who I haven't listened to the latest downloads of Shutters Inc. So who was it that you were talking to in my stead while I was away?
I had John Swainston on after he came back from Photokina, and then last week there was no episode. I didn't get anyone lined up, so.
Yeah. How was John? John's got a great speaking voice, doesn't he?
He has. I think he enjoyed being on the podcast. I think he imagined he was back in his radio days.
You can just imagine him with his hand to his ear, can't you? You know, hi, this is John Swainson coming at you from Shutters. If you're listening, John, I love you. You know that, don't you? He's a great speaker, John. I've heard him lecture a few times. And boy, that man knows his stuff.
Yeah.
Really knows his stuff. Yeah. You know, on all levels, creatively, retail, you know, technically, he really knows his stuff. And the thing about it is he's such a hell of a nice guy as well.
He is. He's a lovely guy.
Glad. What'd you talk about?
Well, mainly just about Photokina and some of the product that he'd seen while he was over there. He preceded his trip to Cologne with a stopover at Mauritius because I can't remember if it was his mum or his mother-in-law who lives there and was having a 90th birthday, and so they stopped in Mauritius to have a birthday party, and he got to do a bit of photography there and give his Coke and filters a good workout. So we talked all about that, and then about Photokina and everything that he'd seen and experienced there. Yeah. So
make sure to have him on the show some other time when I'm not available or whatever, because he's a resource. He's a source of great information, John, and a hell of a nice guy. So sure. I'm sure he'd be happy to come back on again. You know. So and then of course, I got back and we had we had a workshop on Saturday. Then we had the Dave Honnell one, and I've got another one tomorrow. So it's go.
Wow.
Yeah. So. So what do you think you took home from the Honnell workshop that you did, Bruce? I don't know.
Well, I think as I said in the wrap-up at the end of the day, you know, when you went around the room and asked everybody what they'd got from it, I think, you know, the thing that for me is definitely don't overcomplicate your lighting setup right from the outset. And that is something that I've been guilty of doing in the past. I think, you know, the thing about Dave's approach is, you know, even before he sets up one light, even when he knows that he's going to use artificial light, he still takes a reference shot in complete darkness before he even starts, you know. We kind of joked about it on the day about how Honnell A, which is like Dave Honnell's default settings, which is 125th at f8, you know, that's just basically where he starts in manual mode. He takes a reference shot at 1/125th at f8 and with no lighting setup. And he then decides, okay, what's the first light that I want to introduce and what is its purpose? What part of the image is it going to illuminate? And generally, if he's doing a portrait, that's obviously the face. But he'll then decide, you know, how far does that light need to spread? Should it only be head and shoulders, or does it need to sort of cover waist to head, or whatever? And he basically hones that one light, you know, with a couple of test shots to get exactly the spread and the texture of the light that he wants from that one light. And only when he's got that one light absolutely nailed does he then go, okay, what's the next light that I need if I need another light, you know? He basically just looks at the entire scene and says, well, out of all of these elements in the scene, does anything else need to be illuminated? And if so, what approach am I going to take to illuminate that portion of the image? And it was great just to see the way he works through that process. Now, I mean, the way I've described it makes it sound like it takes him half an hour to set up a shot, but it actually didn't. Yeah. It takes him like 3 minutes, yeah, which is the infuriating part, because there's no way that I could get to that point in 3 minutes the way he does. Where I'm at now, I'm sure, you know, give me 10 years and I might be somewhere in the ballpark, but right now it takes me a heck of a lot longer to think through an image like he does, you know. So yeah,
you haven't had the experience that he has. That's, you know,
no, exactly,
it, you know. And you will, I mean, it won't take you too long. It really won't take you too long,
yeah,
the more you practice, to come up with, you know, your decisions.
Yeah.
And they would probably be different. David's, they might be the same in some cases, but they'll be your decisions and you'll know why you're doing them because of a look you're after.
That's it.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was, I thought that was the great thing about his approach, was that what he was teaching everybody was to see the photo in their head maybe, but the process of disassembling it, you know, means that you must start here.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, you've been guilty of just throwing everything at it and then wondering what was going wrong, whereas he's saying, well, you see the picture and then you work backwards and you assemble it through a process of, you know, disassembling the image and putting it back together. You disassemble it in your head and then you put it back together in real life.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really great way of, you know, of making the image happen. He knew exactly what the end result was going to be, but he took everybody through it step by step, you know, slowly assembling the image bit by bit, and then, you know, you came up with the finished product, which is, you know, I suppose the reverse. Glenn and I at our workshops are always saying, look, if you like a photograph, disassemble it. If you follow the shadows, you'll know where the light's coming from.
Yep.
Then why have they used this lens? Why did they compose this way? Or, you know, disassemble the image and then put it back together in your head and it'll all be fine.
There was one particular shot that we did. It was the second shot that he set up for the day, where we went down under this building and you had a solid brick wall on one side, this concrete walkway, and then on the other side you had these six arches, and the whole building was red brick. And so as we were looking at our model, we had ambient light coming in from the right-hand side. And what Dave did was he just put this pelican case down on the ground and then got Joanna, one of our two models, to just sit down on this pelican case, sort of side on to the photographer's perspective, you know, with her hands around her knees kind of thing. And he started out and he said, okay, well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to put this, you know, a flash, you know, about 3 feet out from her face, you know, a little bit above, with an 8-inch Honnel Traveler softbox on the flash to, you know, soften the light off. And he said, now, normally we would have it on a light stand and that would be vertical and it'd be right in the way of where we're trying to shoot from. So he said, you know, in this instance, I'm going to get someone to hold the light stand so that the light stand was parallel with the ground. And that way, each of us, when we were ready to take our shot, could basically crouch down and shoot below the softbox at Joanna. And so what he did was he got that first light dialed in. And when you took the shot, you know, on Honnel A, 1/125th at F8, you know, you got an absolutely fantastic portrait of Joanna surrounded in a sea of black. Because we were undercover on a really overcast day. In fact, it was trying hard to rain at the time that we were doing this shot. So the sky was pretty grey. So the ambient light we had in there was quite low, and we were shooting, you know, 125th at f8 on 200 ISO. So basically, we got this really nice shot of Joanna's face, really beautifully lit by the softbox, but pretty much everything around her and everything from her waist down all just sort of disappeared into this sea of black.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked like a great portrait just as it was.
Yeah.
But then Dave just goes this one step further and goes, okay, I'm seeing all that concrete stretching away behind her, and I'm thinking I'd really like to light that up. And because of the red brick and the sort of brownish red wood doors, which were probably about 15 meters down the corridor behind us, he said I'm really liking those earthy tones. He said, so I'm thinking an egg yolk yellow gel, which is obviously one of the colors in his filter kit.
And that would be the Honnel filter.
the Honnel filters, which you can find at honnelphoto.com. So he grabs that gel and he puts that over a flash and puts the flash on a little tripod and sits it right behind Joanna and aims it, you know, away from her, you know, down this corridor. And so you then take another shot without adjusting any of your settings, and you've got a completely different image. Like, you've still got her lit exactly the way as you had in the previous shot, but now you've got this gorgeous wash of yellow light spreading out behind her, and on the red bricks, it just went this beautiful ochre color.
Yes.
It was absolutely gorgeous. And then he goes, okay, that's great. What can we do now? And he's going, oh, I love those doors down at the end, and, you know, I want to light those up. So he grabs a third flash and he puts that flash, you know, 15 meters away down by this door, and he puts a chocolate gel over that. So it's his, you
know, I've always wondered, why a chocolate gel?
I know.
What am I going to do with a chocolate gel?
Exactly.
You know, he taught me something.
Yeah. You know, and so then you take that shot and that just sort of filled in that area of the wall right off in the background of the shot, and you're just kind of thinking, man, this is just amazing. You know, there's nothing else you can do to this shot. But then Dave says, you know, some of you guys are taking a head and shoulders portrait, but I'm seeing this as a full portrait of Joanna, and what I'm seeing in my shot is that her black boots are still being lost in the darkness right at the front of the shot here. And when you did take a full length portrait, you know, I mean, she's sitting down, but when you got, when you framed it so that you had all of Joanna in the shot, you could see what he meant, that her boots, mm-hmm. there was no definition. You couldn't see them there. They just basically disappeared into the darkness. So he grabs a fourth light and he sets it on 1/128th of full power and just lays it on the ground, you know, a couple of feet out from where her boots were, and just aimed it at her boots. And then you take the shot, and he said, you know, look at this. You know, this is not overwhelming her boots with light. It's just throwing enough light on there just to get a reflection and just help to separate the boots from the darkness. And you just look at it and go, my God, what I'd give to be able to think like that, to, you know, to approach this, the makeup of this shot. You know, I'll dig out all of those four photographs and I will post them with the show notes.
Good idea.
For this show, just so people can understand, can see the images, and having heard my description of it, you'll see what I mean. Yeah, because that last shot with just this tiny amount of light thrown on her boots, and it just adds that last extra bit. And he said, you know, it's really subtle. It doesn't, you know, it's not lit in such a way as to be obvious that we put a light on her boot. You know, to the uninitiated observer of this final photograph, you could easily believe that the light reflecting off her boot was just fall off from the main light with the softbox, but it actually wasn't. It was a dedicated light just put there on really low power just to shine off her boots.
And made all the difference.
It did, exactly.
Yeah.
So just phenomenal.
Well, you know, being an audio engineer, that it's the nuance of the recording.
Oh, absolutely. You
know? It's like posing. It's like so many things. It's the nuances that make the difference. Not the big, but the small.
Yes.
You know, so, but if I had one word of comfort for you, Bruce, you know, you say you'd give anything to see and, you know, conjure images like that. I bet you he can't record a podcast as good as you can, buddy.
Probably not.
There you go. We all have our place in this world, my friend.
That's it. That is it.
But it was very interesting to see, you know, how he approached. And if I was to learn, you know, I mean, a lot of the things he did, I knew it already, of course. Mm-hmm. Glenn and I have done a lot of that stuff in our own workshops. But what we really wanted was to see his process. Because everybody's process is different. We may come up with great images, but how you arrive at them and where you receive the inspiration from initially is fundamental to the success of it. Plus, of course, the bevy of knowledge that he had and his choices. I learned a lot from his choices. I loved what he did with the table. You could do this shot in your kitchen.
Yes, you know? The portrait of Sarah.
On the table, with the flash beneath the legs going up the wall, creating that horizon line. It was just a really great, simple shot, but I loved it. You know, absolutely loved it. And it was great to see him making the choices that he did, and then you know, seeing the picture, making it happen. You know, so look, I learned a lot from him, and just in terms of the decisions he made. And I think that's why you should get your inspiration and learn from as many photographers as you possibly can. You know, no matter how long they've been in the business, or no matter what kind of photography they do, whether it agrees with your style or not, there's always just something you'll learn from, even if it's just their approach, how they see it and where they take it from there. And I learned a lot from David that day. Absolutely. Yeah. It was a really enjoyable day. Looking forward to, you know, our next advanced flash photography workshop, so that we can add just a couple of maybe different elements to it that we hadn't done before, that I'm going to take away from, you know, our day with Dave Honnell.
Awesome. Well, I mean, you have been saying on previous podcasts that you have wanted to be able to, you know, find the time to work, you know, do some workshops with other photographers, because, you know, you never stop learning. So I guess that was good for you in that respect.
Oh, absolutely. It really was. I want to do that a lot more, if for no other reason than, you know, to keep, well, adding tools to the toolbox and diversifying. I mean, one of the reasons that you know, we can run so many different kinds of workshops in our business is because over the years I have basically I've done every kind of conceivable kind of photography.
Yeah.
So I've had to connect things I learned from one genre into another. And so now I'm in a position where I can say, oh, you want to shoot? Want to know how to shoot landscapes? This is how you do it. You want to know how to shoot a glass of water? This is how you do it. So, you know, and that's why I want to continue to grow and expand so that I keep my excitement and keep the, you know, the variety of tools coming, as it were. So, and that's, I'm no doubt I'll take some of that into the flash workshop that we're running tomorrow.
Fantastic.
No, it was a really good process. Yeah. And I had something else exciting happen today, Bruce.
Oh, what was that?
Well, we're going to keep a vigil on this one over the next few months, I'm sure. But I went and had my first meeting with the tour operator to put together Egypt 2011.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's going to happen.
Nice.
We're looking at April at this stage for our Egypt tour. And the things we've got planned, like hot air ballooning over Luxor at sunrise. Yeah.
Man, it'd want to be a big basket because you got to fit a lot of cameras in there.
Yes. You know, little things like that. We're going to do star trails over Aswan.
Wow.
Going into the tombs of the nobles. We are we're doing the pyramids on the Giza Plateau, both at sunrise and sunset.
Nice.
Doing a few things, you know, that we'll always be arriving that little bit, you know, earlier than the tourists if we possibly can.
Yeah.
And just make it, this tour is Egypt all about photography.
Wow.
With a couple of little, you know, touristy things thrown in. But the priority will be getting great photographs.
How many days?
I'm glad you asked. we're going to divide it into two in case you can't make the full tour. So for the first, say, dozen days, it will be Egypt, starting at Cairo, and then taking an overnight train to Aswan, and then taking the Nile cruise to Luxor, and then heading from Luxor across to Hurghada on the Red Sea, where we'll spend the last day just sort of, you know, snorkeling and relaxing by the Red Sea, which is beautiful. Some of the best diving, you know, and snorkeling in the world is done in the Red Sea. That's the end of the first chapter of the tour. The second chapter takes us across into Mount Sinai on the Sinai Peninsula. Excuse me. Where we head to Mount Sinai, we get up at 2 a.m., we climb Sinai to the peak, we watch the sunrise over the Sinai Peninsula, and we walk down the steps of penance to St. Catherine's Monastery, and we go into there. Then from there, we drive into, we go across to Jordan, into Aqaba, and we go up into a couple of oases and Wadi Rum, I think it is, and we stay with the Bedouins there for a day and night, and then we go into Petra.
Wow.
And we photograph Petra. And if you've watched, you know, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Petra is the place where they did the filming of the, you know, that sort of temple that goes into that side of the mountain at the very end. That's actually Petra in Jordan.
Right.
And then from there, we spend our final day at the Dead Sea, where we'll just relax, you know, by floating on the very buoyant waters of the highly Dead Sea.
So how many days in the second part of the tour?
I think it's 17 or 18 by the time we're done. So,
wow.
You know, it's sort of like 2 weeks and then 3 weeks by the time you probably get home.
Whoa.
But, you know, we'll divide it into two so that those who can make the first section, which is an awesome section, will have a great time. And the things we'll be doing and photographing are just that little bit left of center to a straightforward tour. It's a photography tour, so we won't be sort of hanging around an Egyptologist who tells us that in, you know, 1600 BC this happened and this happened, which is all very interesting and I love it, but you can read that in your Lonely Planet manual. But when you're out there, I don't want to stand around an Egyptologist wanting to take photographs.
No.
So, you know, we're basically going to be all about the photography. And, you know, we'll be doing a lot of things that are just that little bit different to a normal tour of Egypt. David Oakley was saying to me today that, and you know David, who's built our website, and he's an integral part of our CPW business.
Hey, he built my website too.
Yes, that's right. He did too. He was saying that he's been overseas and in different places, and he'd love to do it. You know, he comes back, he's gone to all these great places, but because it wasn't a photo tour and he didn't have someone there to sort of hold his hand and take him through the photographs and give him advice as he went, that the photographs were disappointing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the advantage of doing a photo tour. You have people there who make sure that you get that shot, you know, that someone's looking over your shoulder and saying, have you tried this? Just walk around a little to your right and see and try it from there. Put this lens on instead of this lens and walk closer and see what happens. Maybe you should expose this way or that way. Why don't you ask this fellow over here to stand in the shot? He looks pretty cool. All sorts of things, you know, that make a photo tour a much better option for photographers, because you're not being frustrated. You know, you're actually getting the photographs you want, because, you know, that's what it's all about, you know. So, yeah, if you want to come, it's going to be a fabulous tour. Email me and, you know, I can, you know, definitely give you the details as they arise.
Awesome.
Going to be really cool.
Definitely.
It'll be on the CPW website, so we'll keep you posted.
Fantastic. All right, mate, well, we might wrap it up there. I've got some audio which I recorded on Wednesday at the Honnell workshop.
Right.
I have not had a chance to go through it. It's Friday night as we're recording this. So I'm going to sit down and have a listen to some of that now. And if I find some worthwhile stuff, I'm going to stick it on the end of this podcast. It'll probably, if anything, it'll probably be that last session where we'd finished the workshop and we sort of went around the room asking how, you know, people found the day and what they got from it. That'll probably be the most interesting stuff to listen to, given the lack of any visual context. So, yeah.
And now remember, there's probably some incriminating stuff there.
I'll cut it out if there is.
I don't want you to incriminate my good friend Glenn. You know, he's got a wife.
He does a good enough job of that on his own.
Yes, very true.
He doesn't need any help.
No, very true. But, you know, remember, he's got family and, you know, so he's got a wife. You know, you don't want to make his life any more difficult than it already is. That's all I'm going to say.
Excellent. All right, mate. Well, I'll talk with you next week.
Absolutely. You bet.
All right, mate. See ya.
Bye.
Shutters Inc. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.
Yeah. Have you had a good time today, gang?
Yes.
Have you learned some interesting flash techniques from Mr. David Hommel?
Mm-hmm. We have.
All right.
And are you less afraid than you were when you walked in here, or more?
Mm-hmm.
About flash.
less. Yeah. I don't know about less afraid, because probably being the junior of the class, but I had to endure his basic flash course there a couple of weeks ago, so I was quite afraid. I had this thing which is full of batteries and will light up the room.
Anyway, but you learned to turn it down.
Yeah, I learned that was the first thing. You learned to turn it down and then take it off the top of the camera and put it over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I guess I wasn't afraid of flash when I walked in here, because he cured me of that. But now I'm more intrigued about
its potential.
The plastic over it, and we just touched on it last time. I think we pulled out the orange CTO, pulled that out and did the blue background thing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. This is nice. We just had a Honnell.com with Todd.
Honnellphoto.com.
Yeah, Honnellphoto.com. It's on the ship.
It's on everything.
Yeah, it's on everything. It's probably more intrigued than less fright.
Yeah.
Good.
Cool.
Excellent.
Any questions for Dave?
About bulk discounts.
Do you need an apprentice?
Well, my bags are a lot lighter now, so I use a lot less of that, which is good. My wife carries stuff for me.
Well, let's go through the room. Let's go through the room one by one.
With the softbox, as compared to a shoot-through umbrella, what were the results?
Well, it's a lot more defined, you know, because it's a smaller area that's going out. So you'd use it mostly for, you know, one subject, maybe two subjects. you know, we don't get that spill that we would get if we used a big shoot-through umbrella. That would tend to light more of the room, yeah.
Even smallish umbrella?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, an umbrella is really going to spread the light around instead of, you know, cornering it in that little cone like that. So all of these tools are really meant to really, you know, focus the light into a smaller area.
And be portable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very portable.
Yeah.
See how fit you make.
Well, let's go through the room one by one. It's always a good idea to do that at the end of a workshop because everybody got some little nuance of something that others didn't get or just to remind us of. So when the boys here finish playing with their toys, maybe the rest of us can get on with things. Oh, yeah, sure. You're a very loud multitasker, honestly.
That sounds quiet.
So, Richard, let's start with you. How'd you go today? What are you taking home with you that you want to repeat, refine, practice?
Well, look, I knew how dramatic like off camera flash could be, but didn't really sort of realise how easy it was to do. Mm. And 125
FA. Funnel A. Funnel A. Yes.
But no, just that it was that, and I actually didn't think of taking apart the photo and building it from scratch.
Yeah.
And I just thought, like, okay, I need this over here, this over here, this here, and it's like, and that sort of started to get a bit overwhelming enough, but now it's like, take a photo with like a blank canvas, like it's all black, and then where do you want to put your light tonight? So that, especially downstairs when we did that first shoot, it's like building it up, and I'm taking the photos every step of the way. That was really good, and like now I feel more confident. Like all I need now is just a couple more flashes and my Honnold show bag. I could have no trouble going out there and doing it now. So
you'll be on your own with your subject too. You'll have a lot more time to spend. And obviously, you'll be able to shoot more than just three frames like we did today.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, when you go back in and do a shoot on your own, I think you're really going to be enlightened.
And when you go through your photographs tonight, disassemble them and remember the setup for each and look at how you built from this one to this one to this one. And, you know, remember the process. Because today was a workshop, not a shoot. So basically what you did today was reference photographs for when you're doing the real thing. Mm-hmm. And I know for sure that Bruce Williams is going to do a shoot up in Sydney with his little meetup group. Mm-hmm. And probably go through a few of these techniques, won't you, mate?
Absolutely.
Reselling.
Yeah. 125 at F8, Honnold A. What about you, Graham? How did you go today?
Well, local camera club, we had a fellow give a demonstration a couple of weeks ago. And that's the first time I've really seen someone build the light pattern. So this has been even more reinforcing that and building it even further.
Yeah.
And just the variations with grids and softboxes. Mm. And my boss is in big trouble on the weekend, I think.
Your boss?
Yeah.
Oh, someone going shopping?
I think she's... No, I think she's...
Grant's going to be shopping.
Posing on
the Oh, okay.
She doesn't know it yet.
I'm sure she's used to it by now, mate.
Oh, no, the shopping I've been told it's okay.
The what, say?
The shopping part I've been told is okay.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Boy, you got to keep it there, mate. If the shopping part's okay...
Well, she stayed home for the gold books.
Oh, yeah. Good on you. Good on you. What about you, Amanda?
I'm actually with Richard. Like I really enjoyed seeing the blank canvas and watching, you know, work up and adding the light and seeing what it did to the photo as we progressed through that. You know, I thought that was really special, you know, being able to see how it changed the image.
And you've got every one of the shots too. You were able to go through and take that home.
Yeah, especially that one downstairs. You know, where we kept added depth to that sort of walkway, and then even just adding that last light in the front on their boots like that.
Yeah,
it was great to see all that come to life.
It's funny, you don't know what you need until you see it there.
So I really took a lot out of that. So I'd like to sort of try and do something, and I'm only two flashes, but I can at least, you know, start there.
Well, you can also use like we started in the very first shot. We use some of that sunlight coming in, so you can use that many times as your main light, and just put a bunch of the elements into a shadow, and then start building from that. You saw that in the swimsuit picture that I showed you earlier. You know, that was a fully bright sunlit day. We used the sun to light my swimming pool and the bed in the background, but there were a lot of shadow areas that were filled in with flash. So the sun is really a good light source, you know, when you're using flash as well. So And then you can play around using some incandescent lights and bring your shutter speed down, slow it down a lot, and use, you know, utilize some of the incandescent.
Yeah, and probably my only question, like, I still don't fully understand how to use my flash properly. And, you know, you talked about zooming your flash, and I don't know, like, which way to zoom it, which makes it, you know, work.
Well, for instance, when I use a softbox, that is one instance where I'll zoom the flash to the widest zoom setting, like 17 millimeter on the SP900, I think, just so that I catch all of that inner surface of the softbox. With the grids, it doesn't make too much difference what you zoom it at, because
it just,
you're zooming with the honeycomb that you're shooting through.
Does it make a difference to output and power?
It's a good question. Have you noticed that?
I haven't actually experimented.
Yeah, because I rarely, like, I use the zoom setting when we were shooting through the window, and I had a gobo on there at first. I wanted to spread the light out more, so rather than just have a 105 millimeter beam going through it.
Also, so when you zoom it, when you've got like a 17mm, it's when the light throws.
Yeah, it's gonna throw wider.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But with a grid and a snoot, you can define it much more, and you're going to get a circle of light. Like I said, I don't use the zoom setting that much, unless I'm using a softbox. I'll make sure it's wide as possible. There's not a lot. I mean, I've never used it as shooting. Like, if I was shooting somebody in a chair, I would never use the zoom setting for that. There are some photographers that would, I guess.
Galen Rowell was big on that.
Yeah. But
light gray.
Yeah. But the grids and snoots work much better for that application. And do the cheaper flash units have a zoom set?
Usually they're like push pull and zooms, but
The 285.
Yeah, like the 285. Yeah.
So you can play with it, but as far as using them with modifiers, it doesn't make that much of a difference what you have it set at.
How about you, Wayne?
Well, I think it's because what he said. The interesting thing to me with the three professional photographers here, you can still make a setup and it still doesn't work, and you can walk away to Oakland and do something else.
Yeah.
That was interesting to see. Yeah. With 100 years of experience that you guys have got sort of between you, there's, let's do this.
There's a lot of stuff.
That doesn't work. That was interesting.
Abandon it.
Yeah.
If it ain't working, abandon it. Yeah. Good. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we still, you know.
I mean, otherwise we'd be in fisticuffs.
Yeah.
We have to pay extra to see that.
No, because it would last about 3 seconds, and I'd be unconscious. Yeah, I can't fight my way.
And Glenn would jump on top of it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That wouldn't be aggression. That'd be lust.
Yeah, love.
Anything else?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Really intense man love.
And
it's already been sexed.
No? Okay, fine. Fair enough. Cool. Tara? You were concerned in your correspondence with me that this would be a little above you or whatever, but how have you found...
I don't shoot for a living. I don't even shoot as a part-time living. I just take photos of things when I go traveling. I did think it would be a little bit... I'd be left behind. And I don't think I was. Yeah, a little bit. I guess we've all got varying amounts of experience and a lot of diminishing returns, and everyone's getting varying amounts of experience from the class. But yeah, I certainly picked up a lot.
Did you open your eyes to some possibilities of flash that you didn't think maybe was...
I want to go home by like six, well, maybe not six, but a handful of... I was actually looking, because I've got several tripods, and I'm thinking how I can convert tripods, because I don't want to be lugging specialist things like that around to hold them.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a tripod, instead of putting my camera on, I'd like to have the tripod.
I do that.
Yeah,
well, the flash wave, put the flash there
and go bang.
The flashwave threes we use the receiver as a tripod socket.
Set just on there.
Just made it straight to your tripod. And you're done.
Yeah, that'll work. And a pair of them and some cheap-ass flashes.
Yeah.
And
stuff. A stack of HoloGear.
Oh,
yeah.
The whole bag of HoloGear.
Oh, yeah. The HoloGear is cardboard.
Yeah.
Way to sell your gear, dude.
Does
your gear
have more than one, like, you know, a full CTO or a half CTO, is there more than one of those in there?
Yeah, there's in the kits, there's two of each. Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. Thanks. There's a sampler kit that has one of each of the effects and the corrections, but all the rest of the kits, like the Hollywood and the Autumn kits that we use downstairs, they have two of each gel in there.
And the Hollywood has the Autumn in it, or vice versa?
The Autumn.
Is there a full kit?
Have a look at them. They're all over there. You can have a look at what's in them.
Beautiful.
Yeah. The Autumn has the earth tone colors like we use downstairs, like the chocolate and the yellow, egg yolk yellow, I think we use. The Hollywood has the purples and the green, rose pinks.
And that's like
that. And the
is
new,
there
new
glitter. Everything kit?
Yeah. Not so far now.
The
Glen Lavender kit is coming.
The Glen Lavender kit, yeah. Does the rollout have enough room for all of those?
The rollout will hold 30 different filters.
So I could buy both those kits and fit it all in one rollout.
Beautiful.
The other thing I really picked up on this, as it was said by others, the assembling the picture. Now, all those photos I took of the scene pictures of shitty light and.
Yeah.
You assembling it, I'm thinking I want to slice them together and put them into, Photoshop them into one photo and just put that as a reference photo. So next time, it'll be sitting on my iPhone, and next time I'm like, how does he do that? And you can look at it, and you can see the half a dozen different stages of adding light, and you can go, instruction manual.
That's why whenever I do these, I want you guys to walk away with those reference pictures.
Yeah, that was posted.
It just shows, shooting it without flash. Like when we did outside, the very last one we did outside, we could have shot that with no flash at all. But to just make that subject pop a little bit, you're going to really see a dramatic difference between the regular daylight one and adding the flash to it, which is good for travel photography too. You can see. You could just take one flash with a grid on it, maybe a couple filters, and wherever you are in the world, you could do that same technique, capture locals, just to give them that little extra pop.
Little people or things.
What you want to do is have an accomplice walking along with a flash off to the side, and they're about 10 feet in front of you. You're walking along, and they're going, get that guy there. They didn't know they got the flash. You walk, bang!
It's like to take your photo.
Boom! We should do that. Take turns. Yeah, one guy hold the flash, one guy do the shoot. We should do that next time.
We should. I have no friends, so I don't know where I'm going to find an accomplice.
Yeah, fair. Well, you can pay for it.
Rent one, yeah.
Well, yeah. I spend all my money here learning.
Doesn't anybody like you?
No.
Oh, okay. I understand.
The odor, yeah.
I can understand. Mr. Davidson. How'd you go today?
Yeah,
because you're a bit of an aficionado with this stuff. Yeah, I mean, you know this stuff. You just
is it into fishing?
Fishing. Fishes for artists. you just wanted to meet Dave, didn't you?
Yeah, pretty much. No.
Yeah.
Used the gels and the grids a lot, but hadn't used any of the Snoot or the GoGo stuff. So you're just using the Snoot as a better the light around and stuff. Yeah. So.
I know a lot of wedding photographers use that Snoot as a reflector too.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, how close you can get the softbox in and use it without it.
Best used that way. Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Lorna, how'd you go? What did you take home? Do you like it? Was it good? Yeah. Et cetera, et cetera?
Yep.
Good.
Thanks over there.
What impressed you about today, apart from Dave Honnell's incredible physique, which you mentioned to me earlier?
Well, I get it.
But I wasn't supposed to say anything. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Well, black is slim. Yeah. That's why the outfit's black.
Sorry.
Black is slim.
No, Lorna was checking you out earlier. That's why you'll always find she was walking behind you during the whole course of the workshop.
That's so badass.
Yeah.
And the strange thing is you noticed she was walking.
Oh, no, she told me.
Because he was walking behind you.
What tricks and tools and tips are you taking home with you today?
Well, I'm not scared at all anymore, and I'm more willing to try different things and kind of move the flash and put a gel on it or cellophane as I have at home at the moment.
Cellophane?
Cellophane and a rubber band.
With some sticky Velcro dots.
It's inventive. Well,
you've got a speed strap now, so you don't need the Velcro.
Now I don't need my little Velcro strap.
Yeah,
I've got some of that. Yeah,
just use cardboard instead
of cellophane. Yeah. So you're a little more adept at this stuff.
I wouldn't say that, but more willing to try.
More willing to try.
Yeah, and then
that's
practice.
All that counts.
Yeah,
it's just practice, and I'm. you know, I mentioned earlier, I'm still practicing, and I really am.
Mm.
Because, we all are. Yeah, mm. yeah.
Every time we shoot, we think of something different, or we come up with another idea.
And your subject is always different. Yeah. Subject is always different.
No workshop we ever run is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. That's just poor organisation.
That's because they need
to work. Now, we just get bored, so we have to come up with something new. It's not about what you want to learn. It's about how bored we are.
So they really sell us creative photo workshops.
Yeah.
They didn't want
we have to create something on the spot.
Professional photo workshops.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, last but not least, Mr. Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. How did you go today? What are you taking home with you? What did you like? What did you not like?
I think, like Richard, I've been guilty of trying to set up too many lights from the word go and then trying to massage it into a look. And, I think, you know, Dave's approach of just start with no additional lighting, you know, shooting on Honol A, and then just, you know, and then just add one light at a time and just get each element of the image working properly before you add another light source.
And I believe it should always be done that way, no matter how good you get at it, or
it makes perfect sense.
Stay the same. I mean, it's just a great way to build it up.
Yeah,
because like we were saying, every shoot is different.
Yeah,
every subject is different. You know, every environment you shoot in is, and it doesn't take long to do it either. You know, we didn't spend an hour setting one shot up.
No.
Just a few minutes.
Yeah.
It took longer at the workshop to set up, as David was explaining. Then we'd come out and take a shot. Really, that you'd look at it, you know, and after a while you just go, right, I need this, and this. 5 minutes and it'd be all set up. The longest part of it is actually fiddling with the flash guns and attaching your things. Knowing how to do and where to put things can become very second nature.
I tell you, what'll drag you down is having your batteries not charged, or forgetting a memory card, or not having a backup of something. Yeah. That's going to screw up your shoot.
So two of every model product.
Yeah, so two of everything.
Got backups, people. Yes. I think any time, even with studio lighting, it's the same thing. You always start with one and build. If you put three lights up straight away, you try to get all of them working correctly, you just drive yourself nuts. And it will take an hour to sort out rather than 10 minutes. So.
Think B.B. King and not Yung Lee Malmsteen.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you notice, B.B. can't sing and play guitar at the same time. Mm. He plays guitar, stops, sings, plays guitar, stops, sings. Keeps it simple, dude.
It worked pretty well for 50 odd years, too.
Yeah.
It worked
pretty good.
But you think, like, I can't listen to Malmsteen for more than, like, 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Because he's... is there a note in there anywhere? Yeah. But BB, what is he doing?
Bang. Bang.
Right? That's it. Right? That's it. And you're going, oh, yeah, feel that blue. There's a whole shade of blue coming out of that. And it's start like, you know, it will only, in music, it's not what you play, it's what you don't play. And in photography, it's often the same. It's not what you light, it's what you don't light, you know, that makes the difference. So you start simple. And, you know, with it, and then if it needs light, you add it. Like downstairs under here, right? We only added what was needed to make the shot. We could have put another 50 flash guns in there, we could have rim lit her hair, we could have lit up the columns, and we could have not necessary.
Yeah.
All we needed at the end was that little tweak on the boots.
Yeah.
And otherwise, that was the only thing that was probably added, which maybe we didn't consider or you didn't consider from the very front, and that was it. Otherwise, kept it simple. So have you enjoyed yourself today? Would you like to thank our two wonderful models for putting up with the rain?
Three wonderful models.
Yes, because he's such a good-looking guy. And I have to agree with that. And would you like to thank Mr. David Honol for coming all the way from America,
all the way from Market Street in Melbourne.
He came all the way from
the way from Market Street.
Yeah, just to do this workshop.
Yeah, to Glenn's car.
It just so happened, coincidentally, that there's a sci-fi convention in town, and Claudia, his wife, was able to work there as well. But really, apart from that, he's come from America just to meet you good people and run this workshop. It was a beautiful coincidence of timing, and we're very grateful.
So if you're a science fiction fan, come by and see us as well.
Yeah, you're going to be down there?
Yes.
Man, the booth is taking the money, dude.
Oh, okay. So, live long and prosper.
Yeah, I think so. We never did.
It's 15,000 people going to it, so I'm assuming it's Jeff Sherratt.
But Claudia's down there.
Is there that many weirdos in Melbourne?
That's a redundant question, isn't it?
Because in Sydney, I can understand.
So any final questions for Dave? Like, how much is your video? Where can I buy this? Any final questions for Dave?
Do you have a 1/16th grid in the making?
I have a zero grid in the making.
That's just a plastic front.
And the Velcro roof straps.
You can make that a cardboard.
Yeah.
The Velcro car roof instead of the blacked out top.
Exactly. What the big.
Seriously.
What actually would you want to if you're shooting on top of your roof of your car whilst driving? You could wear a Velcro suit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. So
you think
that.
You
turn a
fire. If you put a Velcro suit on, we'll just throw the walls.
So seriously, what do you want, Dave, to make? Seriously, what do you want him to make?
Multicolored gel.
Show me for yellow.
I have quite a few more gel kits coming out.
Really?
Cool.
Yeah. Because you haven't enough already. There's 500 colours you've got so far.
I know. It's amazing. But
yeah.
We've got blue metal.
I want the lavender colour gel.
Yeah, blue lavender.
That doesn't exist.
Shades of lavender all the way through it.
I'll tell you what I'd like. I'd like him to make a soft box which has the same fitting, round. but a wider, a wider front, but still Velcro's on.
It's almost finished.
Oh, really?
Like a round fantastic. Box as well.
I'd like a beauty dish.
Yeah. Round.
I'd like a.
I need to follow up with that.
Almost finished.
A collapsible beauty dish.
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep. I'd like maybe a 1/16th grid.
Something a bit tighter. We can just have the nuance and
Just the hot light. Yeah, for the shoes or something.
It gets a little tough because when you get down to a cell size smaller than that, you end up with more plastic than you have hole.
Mm.
So it really, it's an eighth is about as far as you can go with it.
Just put 2/8 on, though. Yeah. It's a 6/8.
Do you have a neutral density gel kit?
I'm going to. That's right. One of them that's coming out.
Okay.
So that there are instances of when I'm shooting product shots, I'm using grids and snoots and things. Sometimes I want to go further down than 1/28th, which is what the Nikons go to, and to be able to put a neutral color filter over that to bring it down another stop helps a lot. And people have asked for it, so it'd be kind of a good thing to have in the bag.
What? Could you do a camera preset for the panel A?
Yeah. Is there a way we could
But apart, I mean, those are only things I've come off on top of my head.
I'm thinking a rim light snoot, which is just like a cut out of the shape of a person. The light only comes out that. You've got to try to get the physical size of I think one for someone with long hair, short hair, and spiky hair.
I'm trying to be serious here. I'm trying to be serious here. It's just not working. I'm in the wrong place, clearly.
It's like getting Homer Simpson to design a car.
But look, I mean, I'm sure Dave's open to any suggestions, but those are a few off the.
Well, that's when I started making I originally started making the snoots when I lived in Istanbul. And people asked for grids. So when I was in Iraq and Kazakhstan, I designed grids. I said, well, yeah, of course I'm going to make grids. So then I made them.
What about a variable grid? Like a long tube, and you can actually move.
Oh, like a long snoot.
Well, if you had a plastic frame, right, and inside you can actually move the grid back and forward.
Yeah, so you could do some testing with that, I guess. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you make $1 million out of that, I want a piece of that action.
We are in international waters, I think.
Yes.
it's being recorded, though. So
that way, I mean, if you move honeycomb back and forward, you'd probably alter the nature of the...
We could play around with that.
There you go. Yeah,
maybe on Monday.
I want you to call it the Shelton Grid.
Yeah.
Okay. If it doesn't come through. You are all witnesses to this moment. The moment that product comes out, I want a piece of that action.
If it fails, it makes everyone blind.
Yeah.
We want a piece of the action. Piece of the action.
We've all got to shut up.
Yeah, that's right.
What was it in The Jerk with Steve Martin?
Oh, yeah.
With the glasses, but it made everybody cross-eyed.
If it doesn't work, we'll just say you're off the grid.
Yeah.
It would work if you put something on the front, so you put the ground, so you take half the...
Polarising grid.
Sort of in that sort of sense, But...
I'm just thinking of a plastic. Take the grid that we've got, multiply it, four thick, four or five thick. I don't know.
Yeah.
And if you can move the move the grid in between, you know, like just a slider.
Like a little cone?
Like a slide. Well, it would be the honeycomb, but you'd slide it and
yeah.
I don't know.
Be easy to test.
Be easy to test. Mm-hmm. Yes, it would, actually.
Yeah.
Get, you know, just,
you do.
Just mongrelize a few of your kids, yeah. Pull the guts out of them and then try it out. Yeah, it would be easy to test. So,
doing the plane on my home.
Yeah.
14 hours to come up.
Just, I can see you sketching it now, man. Like, well, let's, everybody, go home.
We do have some products if anybody wants stuff.
Absolutely.
Now, didn't they offer a discount?
Yeah, 10% off, yeah.
My distributor brought these here today, so that's sort of their deal.
10% off if anyone wants anything.
Yeah. So if you need any kits or anything like that. But in town, Michael's stocks.
Yeah, Michael's the very best place for
it.
Croydon Thomas has very limited stuff. They have the speed straps. Sometimes they have the gels, but that's better.
Or cpw.com.au, creativephotoworkshops.com. We'll have them on our website soon.
Or photophoto.com.
Yeah.
But hey, if you know what you want, it's right there.
Yep, we got that. They don't have DVDs there, but we have some of my DVDs. If some of you haven't seen it, it's a good thing to have. We go through about 10 different lighting setups.
So you're showing the DVDs?
Are they on parkbay.org?
What's that?
Are they on parkbay.org yet?
Yeah.
That'll be how you know whether you're famous or not.
Yeah.
If you're being pirated, you're famous.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that happens the day after. So.
Yeah.
It's before the DVD goes to production.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, again, thank you so very much. Really appreciate that. Thanks again to David.
Thank you very much.
David is on Facebook. He's got both a personal and fan page, don't you?
I don't have a fan page yet, but I'm going to have to.
Right.
I'm getting too many friends.
Yes. So. Yes. Yeah. You never have too many friends.
Go on, cover somewhere.
But Dave's very much like us. I mean, he's, as you know, he's a very unassuming fellow. He doesn't big note himself or anything. He had every right to, but he doesn't. And he's very accessible. I don't think he'd have any problem if you wanted to keep in touch with him,
yeah,
or you know, pick his brains about, you know, about the gear or whatever. So feel free to do that. But again, thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Had a great day.
I'll be sober by Monday. So email me after that.
All right, pack up your gear and get the hell out of here, folks.